Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today's episode that we are recapping is Lucy's schedule. Before I even get into it, I already know you have thoughts, you have ideas. Lucy has just thoughts because a lot is happening here. Okay.
It's yes.
Yeah. The synopsis. After being late for dinner with his new boss, Ricky is determined to teach Lucy the importance of punctuality. So he puts her on a rigid time schedule. If that doesn't make you run in 2022, feminist, unite. Ooh.
All right. I feel like with everything going on right now, which we won't get into because it's not that kind of podcast, but I'm just saying with everything going on right now.
Imagine this airing in real time. Yeah. Lucy's schedule. So the script is based on the My Favorite Husband episode of Time Budgeting that aired on April 22nd, 1949 on the CBS radio network, and also had Gail Gordon, who shows up in this episode. Well, I don't think he was on this one.
Yeah, this episode, Gail Gordon wasn't there. So in the podcast, or not in the podcast, in the radio show, he was the boss, Richard Denning's boss. Mm-hmm. The week that this role was played, this episode aired, it was played by Hans Conrad. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's not cool, but it's interesting that that's the one he'd miss. And then he's back to play the same thing, right?
Yeah. As this show opens up, you have Ricky really impatiently waiting on Lucy to be ready because they have a movie to watch. And as he is...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, to be fair, I am like this.
You're which one?
I'm Ricky. I'm 100% Ricky. I'm like, listen, we said we were going to be here on time. We said we were going to be here at this time. Let's be there at this time. And okay. Colin's like... Oh,
I'll be ready in a minute, dear.
I gotta check this. I gotta do this. And I was like, you should have done that when you were on your phone or doing whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm definitely, and I have to apologize to him sometimes because I'm like, okay, I'm just being extra. Sometimes just, I feel like just I'm leave.
Just meet me bye. There.
I'll just meet you.
You're in the movie theater all alone. So the thing I said, I'll be ready in a minute, dear, is the thing that she keeps yelling from the other room because she's busy doing her nails. Now, I am all for what you just said. We set a certain time. Let's be ready. When it cuts to the other side or the other room, I want to be on Lucy's side, but I can't.
Because she's doing her nails.
Yeah. And not just doing her nails like, oh my God, hold on. I'm blowing them dry or something. No, she's patiently. She's got like the base on. She's going to wait for that to dry. Then she's going to put the top coat, you know? So it's a little inconsiderate if you had plans first, especially when it's a movie. A movie has a scheduled time. So it's not like you're just going, you know, strolling to the mall. It's something that's scheduled. So that's a little frustrating. She can't decide what to wear. Is the other thing.
Yeah.
Are you like this at all about getting ready? No.
No.
Whatever I got on, this is what we're working with.
Literally, exactly. Yeah. Like, just deal with it. This is what I'm wearing. I'm comfortable. I know they used to dress up for movies, but I want to be comfortable in a movie theater.
You just need to sit down for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I want to be in comfortable pants. Sometimes I have brought a blanket. You know, the really nice ones with like the recliner seats and like
you just pack a blanket and lay down.
Oh yeah. If I'm going to pay for a movie theater, I'm going to pay to be comfortable. Like it's the whole experience. So I don't want to sit there in this little chair. What?
Butler is serving.
You know what? They have these.
Yes, they do.
Where you have dinners and I really want to go to one.
I've gone to one years ago, but it closed down during COVID. It's expensive, but it's fancy and it's worth it.
I was like, it wants to be like at least a one-time thing, right? Yeah. Like I couldn't see myself doing
every weekend.
You see it, have a movie that you really want to see and then an experience. Anyways.
So they're going to watch High Noon with Gary Cooper that starts exactly at 8:23, which is so specific.
Which is such a weird time, by the way. Mm-hmm. For a movie to start, don't you think? Like,
and what does she do all day that her nails are not done? Oh my God.
Who does their nails every day? Like,
I don't remember the last time I did my
nails. Do you have to paint your nails every day?
No, I'm not girly at all. So look in the camera. Look, this is, I'm just plain Jane. I don't do that. But anyway, he comes in upset because she's doing her nails. She's taking forever. And she's not even dressed yet. I mean, she's not sitting there nude or anything, but she doesn't have, you know, her going out clothes. And so she asked him to go find her a dress, which becomes a chore in itself because Ethel has seen her in this dress. The other one's too tight. And he goes, has Gary Cooper seen you in this one? So he can't, she can't decide on a dress.
What to wear. Mm-hmm. I do want to say an interesting fact about High Noon, which is what you said that we're going to go see, is that it didn't come out till about 2 months after this episode aired. Yeah, it came out July 24th. Kind of, maybe they were plugging it.
Yeah,
promotion. You know, like, but so as they're talking about this, you know, Ricky's like, listen, Fred said he's going to have Ethel up here no matter what.
Ready to go. And she's like, I gotta see this.
Ready to go. And she's like, no, if I know anything about Ethel, she's getting out of the bath right about now.
It's 8 o'clock. I said.
8 o'clock. So, yeah. Oh, so, I'm sorry. And the the mention of High Noon was cut from the syndicated episodes, but was
once it was already released, then they cut it. So it wouldn't be mentioned over and over.
Exactly. Okay. After over and over. But
okay.
Anyways, yes. Yeah, so they finally, you know, she's like, I'll be right out. So Fred and Ethel get there and Ricky goes out. And I mean, to be fair, Lucy went from sitting there doing her nails to all of a sudden being like fully ready in like 2 minutes.
So meaning she was capable of having done that. She just chose not to.
She just chose not to.
Oh, boy.
What is Ethel in? Every time I see that, I know it's an undergarment of some sort, right?
To me, it reminds me, now I'm sure there's a word for it. I should have looked this up, but you know, the Titanic, when they're getting the girdle ready and the clothes ready, it's like a long underwear is what it looks like.
I've never watched the Titanic.
So. Dead silence is no good for you here. I'm going to age myself again, which I do often on this show for some reason. I watched it when it came out. So I don't mean like the actual Titanic. I mean like the movie.
I was there on the Titanic.
It's been 84 years. If you'd watched it, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so she drops the diamond in the ocean. Old lady, and she's like, it's been 84 years. Okay. Anyway, okay. So she's wearing like an undergarment. I assume that goes under a dress.
Yes.
To keep everything, you know,
and
together.
I just appreciate so much how she literally says nothing. She doesn't say anything when she comes in. She doesn't say anything up until that point. And then she just opens her
She
jacket.
Says a lot without saying anything.
Oh, exactly.
So, you know, here's the thing. The theme of this episode is the men ruling is what mm-hmm. the theme of this is. Mm-hmm. And I love that Fred's like, well, I said she'll be ready. So she'll be ready. And that's that. Imagine that conversation. Back at their apartment, I'm not ready. Well, I don't care. Throw on a coat. Let's go. And that just goes over. Okay. With everybody just going to walk out in your underwear and a coat. Okay.
Sometimes Mertz it happens.
Run a tight ship.
I was going to say, I was like, nowadays, that'd be, even then, that's a little controlling. By a little, I mean a lot. So anyways, the next scene we see is, again, Ricky waiting impatiently for Lucy. Mm-hmm. Because they have a dinner with the new Littlefield. Is that, Littlefield, Mr. Well, Littlefield.
Yeah, he tells, he tells Fred that Lucy better hurry next time or she'll be known as the late Mrs. Ricardo.
Oh yeah, of course. And again, another death joke.
And so she says, because he has a meeting with a bus. And that's he's you have a meeting with a bus.
About that. Your bus?
Your bus? She has a dinner with a new bus, which is Mr. Littlefield, like you mentioned. So that's why he's so anxious that she might do it again, because they're both invited to dinner.
In this next shot, she does end up, she only says I'll be ready in a minute, dear, once, right? And then she shows up, she comes out, she looks very nice,
so proud of herself and so put
so
together
proud of herself. Oh, and she boy. Said, you know, she played a trick on herself and set the clock an hour forward so that she would have an extra hour. Mm-hmm. Is not how that works.
That's not how any of that
you
works
think they would know that. But and I just love the face that, because Ricky at first is like really proud of her, like really happy.
Yeah.
excited. They're just chatting about how hungry they are. Mm-hmm. And then he shuts off the light and he's like, wow, it's really dark for 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And Lucy goes, well, the days are getting shorter. And he went, no, they're getting longer. And the face he has when he realizes, like, uh-oh, she did it wrong. She messed up. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
So after that, we get to the Littlefields. Mm-hmm. And they're also just chit-chatting. I really appreciate this episode for one reason, and that's that, I don't know, there seems to be more relatable scenes that, like, aren't super funny, comedic, but are just, like,
relatable. What
couples might be doing.
Relatable.
Yeah, like, that one where I was talking about them just talking about hoping they, you know, have good food because they're hungry, and these the Littlefields sitting there talking about the wax fruit. Now I have a question for you. Is there anything in your house that you have to keep out or you can't give away because it was gifted to you?
Oh, gifted to me. I see.
Yeah, because that was a
that's right, from wedding mother-in-law.
Yeah. Mother-in-law. Yeah.
There, oh gosh. Yeah. Again, I feel safe here because I know my parents don't listen. But yeah, my mom has gifted me a couple of, like, vases, figurines, things like that, where, you know, I'll display it. I display it when she comes over. And I just, you know, but then it finds a home in the closet in the meantime. But yeah, there's things like that. I thought you meant, like, I thought you'd ask me if I display fake fruit. No. But no. Oh, Mr. Littlefield, I said, he's sitting there reading American Weekly. And we see Mr. Littlefield, and you mentioned him earlier, being Gail Gordon. The Lucy audience is very familiar with him. He was born February 20th, 1906 in New York City. He's an actor known for Here's Lucy, of course, Our Miss Brooks, and The Burbs in 1989. He was married to Virginia Gordon and died June 30th, 1995 in Escondido. He was actually born Charles T. Aldrich Jr. and was said to be the highest paid radio host of the 1930s. Really? Yeah. His professional, you know, kind of a collab or career with Lucille Ball started in 1938 as the announcer of Jack Haley's The Wonder Show. They called that because Wonder Bread was their sponsor. And Mr. Atterbury on Lucy's My Favorite Husband. And he was, of course, a front runner, as we've mentioned many times, for being Fred Mertz.
Yes. And he also played in Mr. Mooney in I Love Lucy as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He played a judge in Lucy Makes Room for Danny. That's the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour.
He's also in the President one, right?
Lucy Calls the President.
Mm-hmm. Calls the President.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Curtis McGibbon in Life with Lucy. Now, that's the very last Lucy sitcom. He died, like I mentioned, in 95 at the age of 89. Now, do you have information, Mrs. Littlefield?
First of all, I just love that her name was Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Yes. And you don't hear that very much, right? Like, it's not a very popular name.
Other than Friends.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So her name was Edith Miser.
Miser.
Is that how you say it? Miser?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
She was born May 9th, 1898 in Detroit. She was an actress and also an author who wrote mystery novels, stage plays, and radio dramas. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a wide range of...
I know. Comics. She's a busy woman. She's perhaps best known for bringing... She brought an adaptation of Sherlock Holmes stories to radio in the 1930s. And then she did just play Mrs. Littlefield in only two episodes. I was kind of sad. I thought that it would have been fun to have her be part of... Maybe not their best friend, but, like, show up more.
Did you say two episodes?
Yeah, she's only in two episodes, right?
What was the second one? Is that the one with the rays?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's the one, yeah, when they all they come in and out. And she was on Broadway. She did a Broadway debut in 1923. But she was in Let's Face It, which co-starred Vivian Vance.
Oh, that is interesting.
We'll put some photos up there. So it's like, yeah, I forgot because I had that. And the two of them introduced the Cole Porter song, A Lady Needs a Rest. And she was also a member of the Actors Equality Board.
Oh, interesting.
And governs and the chairwoman of the Equality Liberty Theater. So this is a good one for her to be like,
Yeah.
Let's fight the man. And she passed away in 1993 at the age of 95. Okay. So they are upset. You're right. I just, this whole scene, I feel like they're being extra when they're describing the dinner because yeah. they're just annoyed, right? They're like, listen, it sounded really good. Pork chops and potatoes. I love a good potatoes with cheese and butter. I don't like asparagus though. Yeah. So, but asparagus with hollandaise sauce, maybe.
So what you're explaining with enough hollandaise sauce. Is that she came in because they're both hungry, Lucy and yes. Ricky, because they're late. And so they walk into a scene where dinner has already been served. Everything's been put yes. away because they wait for no one.
And no, so they
ate right on time.
7:30. They ate. They mean
7:30. And so she already ate. I mean, they already ate. So they're both hungry. And so when Mr. Littlefield's explaining what they missed out on is all of that. And so Mrs. Littlefield's like, hey, here's the thing. She's like, I'll make something for you. With a side of guilt trip.
Yeah. Even though everything's put away.
I would never say that. I would not be that rude.
I would either offer something or not.
Oh, right? Don't.
Like,
but yeah. don't do it with the caveat of guilt on the side.
Exactly.
You know. So yeah. So she's like, I could make you something even though everything was put away. And she's like, okay, yeah, sure. And Ricky's like, we've eaten. We grabbed the snack on the way here. And so she's kind of like, what? Confused. So she offers an after dinner mint, which yes. I noted here, which she says, yes. And she goes to grab it. And what I love about this entire scene is that they can't get to the next line because of the laughter that's happening in the audience. She has to, you know, vamp. She has to kind of waste time while they wait for the audience to die down, because that was a hilarious scene with Lucy stuffing all the mints in her mouth.
You see like little Miss Little or Mrs. Littlefield, like I think she breaks a bit because she's like
her stomach, you can tell she's kind of laugh a little bit.
Even though she's not looking at it, because I think she can tell from the, you know, she knows what's happening and she knows she can hear the reaction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like she hadn't technically, the way she did it, she hadn't even looked at the mints yet. So she didn't know that they were all gone. So she shouldn't have been laughing, but she was. Also, I wanted to know, do you think they're real mints? Because that would be a stunt in and of itself. Stuff your mouth with a bunch of that. Can we do that as a, are we allowed to do like TikTok challenges, Instagram challenges? Stuff a bunch of different mints in your mouth.
If you're gonna do that, you might as well do the chocolate factory one with stuffing all the chocolate in your mouth.
Yeah, too much chocolate. But it was like, that's gonna feel really weird if that was all real mint. Like, that would have been a lot.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Also, because I like this, the glass dish that they had, the candy dish was a Fostoria American compote candy dish.
Huh.
You can find them still on Etsy and other places, eBay. I mean,
I love that she didn't even
get it for like $20.
Feel that she took all of them. She still like has her eyes focused on Ricky.
Ricky.
And of course, like I said, vamping while the audience dies down. And it's just hilarious to see that, you know, I don't know, just the idea of her taking all of those. By the way, I love after dinner mints without even the dinner.
Yes. I'm one of those people. I have a problem. Like if I cannot have mints out or by me that I have easy access to, because I will sit there and eat. Like I have the new Altoids. They come in like the thin Altoid cans.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good. So good. And I'll just sit there and like, if I'm doing something, if I'm working or playing, reading or something, I'll just sit there and absentmindedly just like eat a bunch of them.
Yeah.
She goes to get more mints, refill the mint jar.
Well, and, what's funny is the reaction when she realizes that they're gone. And that's when
she's like, okay, I'll get some more. And then at this point, as she's walked out a frame, right, Lucy takes one of the apples and tries to eat that. Except could be Sarah, like if she had bit down actually hard enough, like if you're thinking about.
Yeah, she gets hungry. She gets that apple stuck in that, those could really break your teeth.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's funny, but it could be serious.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. Your teeth could go flying. I mean, the way that, you know, it was portrayed here where she's, it looks like it's stuck right on her teeth. It's, or between her teeth. It could very well be a dangerous situation there, but yeah, everyone's losing their mind because she's got this plastic apple stuck in her mouth and, you know, the audience is screaming. Ricky's losing his mind. Mrs. Littlefield is panicking and probably more upset that she's ruined her plastic fruit.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, Mr. Littlefield might not be too bad, actually. Yeah. Yes, a good reason to get rid of this.
And so, of course, Ricky's beyond embarrassed because this is his boss. And so the next scene is him stomping back into the room or the living room, really upset about the whole thing. He's embarrassed. He's pissed off. He takes out a board. And this is where the fun begins. She's like, what's the matter? They made us dinner.
Which also, they made you dinner?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't. I feel like they could have just reheated something or made a sandwich, like anything. They made them dinner. That's a lot. But anyways, yeah. Ricky is just really mad. And he says, I'm going to put you on a schedule. If anyone tried to put me on a schedule, I would be so...
Well, I think
I wouldn't stand for it, right? Like I would leave.
Well,
like,
you say like, okay, you say anyone. I mean,
my husband.
That's usually like at a job. You get paid to be on someone's schedule,
right? That's and fair. Yes,
yes. But if your romantic partner suddenly looks at you and says, "I'm going to control your minutes and keep you on a schedule," this would be a true crime podcast rather than a Lucy podcast. But yeah, it's a little cringy for 2022 eyes. I'm guessing that a lot of that, maybe not as intense because of course it's exaggerated for the episode, but I think there's a lot of scheduling by husbands done in the 50s because mainly they work. So you work around their schedule, that type of thing. But on a side note, devil's advocate here, she doesn't have kids or dogs or hobbies, so there's no reason to ever be so out of whack with your schedule just as an individual, you know. So
but so my thought is that like she's not right, she does all the chores, like all the things, she's bad at time management for, like getting out the door, which is completely different than everyday scheduling.
Yeah.
Like her house is never like, it's always really well taken care of. He gets his food. Like if you're looking for some way to like help her get out the door, that's something else, you know, like maybe make a schedule for that afternoon, that one afternoon that you have to get out the door for something. Really, this was just a very big step. I mean,
it's beyond intense. It's too much. It's something you do for a kindergartner or a preschooler. And that's because your brains are not fully developed yet. And so you need to do something like that. And so he starts writing it out with, you know, his marker very aggressively. You're getting on a schedule, Lucy's schedule. And she says, Lucy, who, you know, and she says, it's very embarrassing. We're not going to, you know, do that again. So he creates a schedule and he says 15 minutes for this, 15 minutes for that. Oh, I'm going to need a lot more than 15 minutes for that. And so you can interpret that however you, you'd like, but that was a funny line.
I wrote down all of her times.
Oh, what he wrote on the schedule?
The amount of time that she had for each one.
I didn't even catch any of that. Okay. What was it? What is
it? Okay. Shower and dress. First of all, she gets up at 10 in the morning. She goes to bed at 11:45. And I was like, that's a lot.
Ma'am. That's a little, that's very late.
I was like, if you want more time, get up at 9.
That's very late. Yeah.
Or 8 or so. But anyways, I was like, well, maybe it's because he works at the night, like at the nightclub. But then I was like, but he still has her getting ready for bed at about 11, like getting into bed at about 11:45, I think. So that's still, I don't know. That's not that late. Like that's still 10. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, shower and dress is 22 minutes. Making breakfast, 34 minutes. I think making and eating breakfast is 34 minutes. Washing dishes, 23 minutes. Make beds and clean is 32 minutes. Laundry's 52 minutes. Fix nails and marketing is 34 minutes.
Fix nails and what?
Marketing. like what? Going to the store.
Oh, marketing. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm actually in marketing. So my mind's like, what is she doing? But I find it odd that she's got a time in for nails every day.
Lunch is 29 minutes. Phone calls are 77 minutes.
Oh,
okay. Ready? Take nap and do hair. 123 minutes.
Ma'am, there's your problem. there's the waste of time. I can't believe I never caught on to the schedule of hers. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I think Cook he has dinner. A point. I'm sorry.
Look, he made this one. So I don't know what to do with that. Dinner 67 minutes. Cocktail and dinners is 99 minutes. I don't know if she's supposed to be a superhuman, but she's supposed to do all the dinner dishes in 23 minutes. Then she's got TV for 195 minutes and then dress for bed 15 minutes.
Wait.
I mean, I feel like that's more like, so watch TV, but like anything at night, like,
yeah,
like if the Mertzes come over or any of the night stuff, that's what would
happen. A nighttime activity is what you're saying.
Exactly. Nighttime activity. Oh,
guys. Okay. So the next morning. But I was like,
there's no bathroom break. There's like, they don't. I was like, what? She's just going to have to take time out or something? Like maybe her phone calls or her nap.
Now, I'm going to think too deep into this. Let's move on to the next the next scene. So the next scene is
like a week later.
Oh, yes.
Because there's like multiple good point. Days filled good out point. On her yeah. schedule.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. there's a, you know, he wants a good morning kiss. She's like, it's not on the schedule to be cheeky, you know. And so she mentions that she didn't have, there's nothing on the table. You know, his breakfast isn't ready.
Looking around.
Yeah. Like, where's the food? And she's like, I didn't have time to cook. I knew I wouldn't have time to cook it this morning. So she cooked breakfast last night, which your mind can go all over the place as to what that means. And so she, you know, bust out a frozen egg and frozen coffee.
That's actually pretty good.
Yes.
I have to say, a frozen popsicle is pretty
coffee
good.
Coffee popsicles. Really, yep. Really good. So, you know, he says, I can't eat this. Why not? What'd he say? It's too salty. Mm-hmm. For the egg.
Yeah, but I enjoyed his reaction to the popsicle because he tried it and then he could kind of go, okay, yeah, that's all right.
He liked it.
He walks away like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, so the reason he's going so quickly and he just decides he'll get something in town or on the way to little Mr. Littlefield's is that he's got an appointment with him again in the morning and they're going to discuss possibly the promotion, right?
Yes.
And I love how the next scene you see him just like stuffing his face and drinking all the coffee. And,
don't
like,
you people hungry. Ever eat at your house? Yeah. By the way, that's how I would just eat normally, even if I did just eat at my house. So I probably shouldn't go to Mr. Littlefield's house because
he'd be like, surprised. Yeah, I just ate. Why?
Yeah. This is
second
snack.
Are you Vivian?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Anyway.
And so, so he's upset or not upset. He's there to see if he's going to get the manager job at the club. He's really trying to, you know, kiss up to Mr. Littlefield and try to get this position. And he is like, you have everything, all the qualifications of a manager, except for that one thing about being late to dinner that one night. And so he blames it. So he blames it on his wife. And he's like, well, that's just it. If a man can't control his wife or his household, whatever he puts it, then how can I give him a club to manage? Sir.
Control your woman.
And so she's like, no, everything's changed. You know, I got her on a schedule and I've got her, you know, running around like a trained seal.
Yeah, got some problems here.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I would love to see a thing like that. That excites right. you to
like
see.
Like, you get so excited to see.
The idea that you're a woman would be just running around like a trained seal.
Beck and call of the, mm-hmm. yeah. So she's like, all right, I'll come see. And if it's as good as you say it is, you know, you'll get the job. And so the next scene is Lucy. She's vacuuming. Well, is she vacuuming or just looking at the schedule? And she was supposed to be vacuuming. Ethel comes up and she's like, all right, I've got a few minutes. I can talk to you. And then she says she cheated and added an extra hour to every day.
Which, yeah. At the end of the year, we'll be 2 weeks off.
Two weeks short.
I think that's massive hyperbole. I don't think that.
Oh, someone do the math.
I don't think she thought that she was getting away with time shifting like that because they're trying to really dumb her down to think that she's thinking she's doing something like that. The idea though that she's other than trying to cheat with an extra hour, she's very loyal to this schedule that Ricky put to her even when he's not around.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
So it's a little odd, but yeah. So Ethel's upset about the fact that she's on a schedule because of course he gave Fred the idea. She'll start to punch a time clock too, if Fred likes it. And just why? They live there. They're there all day long. Fred doesn't leave. They don't have meetings to go to. They don't have, you know, appointments to go to see Mr. Littlefield or a club to run. Why does Fred need to put Ethel on a schedule? Is it really just
the controlling
man and
it's
woman?
Knowing that they have the control over that woman. That's my thought.
Goodness.
They're talking and the doorbell rings.
Yeah.
And it's Mrs. Littlefield and she calls Lucy a Benedict Arnold.
Yes.
Which he was an American military officer. He served as a general during the Revolutionary War. He fought originally for the Continental Army and then defected to the British in 1780. He originally planned to surrender to the British forces, but it was discovered. So he fled onto their side. And so his name's pretty quickly been synonymous with treason and betrayal because mm-hmm. he led the British army against the people that he once fought with led into battle, you know? So
Mrs. Littlefield is what she's saying. Is like, calling her a traitor.
You're to being women. A traitor exactly to all womankind because
they fought hard to kind of put their place in society without having to be bossed around. And she's just succumbing and folding to her husband's scheduled demands. And so she's like, being a traitor to, you know, womanhood. And so, and if, I forget what her husband's name is. I know it's Mr. Littlefield, but what's his first name? Alvin. Yeah, she says if my Alvin likes what he sees here, then she starts on a schedule tomorrow. Everyone's under threat of starting a schedule,
right?
If Ricky, you know, pulls it off, and so of course she's like, "There's no time for formality," so she calls her Phoebe.
Her changes her tune right when mm-hmm. she finds out what Ricky said about her performing.
Like a train
scene. Like them coming to watch her perform, you know? And so she's like,
perform.
Yeah. And so that's when I love her Seal impression, by the way.
When she said that a few times.
The world unite. Yeah.
Throughout just Lucy shows.
I'm not going to do it because I can't do it.
Yeah.
In her. But you know what we're talking about. If you don't, we'll put it in there.
If you don't, you're not a Lucy fan. And yeah, she's like, you're not going to see me, you know, balance a ball in my nose tonight. So there, you know, and Ethel has a look of fear, like, oh no, she's getting an idea. And so they're all going to sabotage dinner based on this schedule. The wives are. And this is one of my favorite scenes of this entire episode.
This is funny. I do appreciate this a lot. So the men come in and as soon as the Littlefields arrive, things turn crazy, right? I mean,
everything's rushed.
Ethel and Lucy come, take the jackets and sit them down, like literally throws Mr. Littlefield into the chair. And then she's like, all right, let's talk about, like, let's chat. She gives him like a minute and a half.
So how are you? Oh, I have a cold. Yeah. I got shot for it. but now I'm feeling better.
No time. Next.
Yeah, so they're running the dinner on a tight schedule as well, but an exaggerated tight schedule.
Yeah.
So yeah, she rushes everyone. And so they're getting ready to serve the dinner. And I think it's, what is it? The soup was what they offered.
Was first. Yep. And no one, well, Fred got a teeny taste of the split pea soup.
Yeah, so they put it down. And as soon as they all sit down for 1 second, they pick it back up and take it back in the kitchen. No one tastes it, except I think maybe they spilled a little. And Fred's like, I think that's split pea. He goes to taste it. Yep.
Yep. And then the next is the side salad, which they do the same thing. They put it down, pick it up. A radish. I love this.
Look, a radish. Yeah,
Mr. Littlefield grabs it. He like wins it because all the men. Oh, and first of all, I love when Ricky like falls trying to like grab the salad. He like dives off the chair. It's like, did anyone get anything?
There's a lot of physical comedy in this whole scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Littlefield gets it and he puts some salt on it. And he just comes in and snatches it. Gives him those little eye, like the, I don't know what she does. It's like a look.
She lifts her eyebrows.
And eats it.
Yeah. Very proud of herself and eats it. And so then, you know, Ethel, let's get those biscuits. And so she's, you know, going to...
Oh, wait,
to...
no, the steak and peas are first.
Oh, steak and peas.
They come out frozen. Yes, what is this? It's frozen.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, listen, you know, this might be frozen, but we have nice hot biscuits. And that's when she's like, all right.
Ethel. Oh, hold on. And then also Mr. Littlefield finds a button in his water glass. Why is there a button in Mr. Littlefield's water glass? Because she washed the dishes and the clothes together. So at the same time... Reminds me of
an episode of like Extreme Cheapskates.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
So then they have the biscuits ready and out of the oven. So Lucy grabs a catcher's mitt and you have Phoebe. No, I'm sorry. Ethel's in the kitchen and Phoebe Littlefield is in the chair and she's waiting to catch the, you know, while Ethel pitches
them to Lucy and then Lucy chucks them to Phoebe. And I just love Phoebe like is fully getting into it as she's like she even like turns around and throws one at Mr.
That looks very
like,
genuine. It doesn't look
like
it
was just having fun. They were just I don't think it was scripted. They were just having too much fun there.
Would you say they were having a ball? I'm sorry. I was so sorry. I was right there. That's the wrong time to do that joke while you're drinking something. I'm here for dad jokes. Okay. So it just looks like the actress who plays Mrs. Littlefield is just having a, you know, a great time throwing the
having a ball around,
having a ball. And so everyone's just losing their mind, like, enough, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Littlefield gets up and tears the schedule in half, you know,
like,
because
there's no way to run a home. He calls him Simon Legree. He's a slave owner in Uncle Tom's Cabin. So that's what he's calling. Ricky.
Okay.
You know, don't be a slave, master, whatever.
Not a way to run the...
Not a way, but the perfect way to run.
The nightclub. Mr. Manager.
Yeah. So he gets... It all works out for him. How nice. But that's it. That's the end of the episode. So I feel like I have such mixed feelings about this because I definitely dislike what the guys are doing, but I love how the girls fight back in this one because sometimes they just kind of take it and they like let it be. So I really like how they
If you're bothered by the cringiness of the stereotypical whatever with the male and female roles, you get a little satisfaction with the way they they come back. They don't just take it, but yeah, it kind of goes to show how quickly they were to accept this schedule per se, a sign of the times, you know, I don't think that would go over very well today, and nor would a show like this be celebrated, especially today. Again, like you mentioned, just things that are going on in the world right now. It's a lot, but that's what made this funny. I love the physical comedy at the end. That's it.
It's a good episode. It's one of those episodes that I like.
Yeah.
I like look forward to seeing. So
and I think we have two left in this season.
Hey, and then finally
I can't believe we're still on season one, but that's because
it's got so many episodes. It's got like 30 some episodes.
It's got a lot of episodes, but also
and we do other stuff.
We do other episodes. We have special ones. If you guys haven't listened to, please listen to our newest extra on Bob Crane that we just released when you're listening to this, maybe like a week ago. And then part two, follow up on Bob Crane. That was a very fun or interesting episode to do. So that's why we don't, you know, we're behind on Lucy stuff because we do other things. We have a ball.
We have a ball. Okay. And with that,
find us everywhere on Having a Ball Podcast, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Where else? Oh, havingaballpod@gmail.com if you want to write us in. We do get a lot of emails, and also Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. So with that, thank you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.